His promises are true. The King is coming. So here we are today, somewhere in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus suffered and died, no dispute. He was then secured in a tomb, no dispute. So what about the promise to rise again? And what did his disciples and followers feel about that on a day like today? Or what are they thinking during this time? He told them plainly. He didn't hold anything back. He was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to suffer and die for the people. That's exactly what he did. And now they were stuck in a place of unbelief and anticipation. Unbelief that their leader, who they thought would be Messiah and King, Deliverer, would die as a criminal of the state. Unbelief that if he was who they thought he was, why didn't he get himself out of this jam? Certainly had the power to do so. How could this triumphal, magnificent entry into Jerusalem go so bad so quickly? And the throngs of the people, fans cheering. And within a few moments, it seems, turned to yell, "Crucify him," with the rest of the people. How could they have changed their heart and their mind from following him so closely to being surprised and anticipating all that he was going to do when he got into Jerusalem, and then turn around and join the shout, "Crucify him." And so Jesus was crucified. What would they do now? How could they get their brain around this turn of events? Why were they even surprised? He never held anything back from his disciples. He told them exactly what was going to happen. Why couldn't they believe it? In Luke 18, verses 31 to 33, Luke writes this. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, "Listen, we're going to go up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He'll be handed over to the Romans. He'll be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him and whip him and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again." The same scene is recorded in Matthew's gospel and in Mark's gospel. But now that he was dead, what were they going to do? So they ran in fear. Their hope was gone. Their dreams were shattered. What would they do now? How would they exist in this volatile environment where things can change in a heartbeat? What would they do without their master? He protected them, gave them direction, told them what to do, stood up for them, worked miracles in their midst. And now he's gone. He was their only protection, their only hope. He promised redemption, deliverance, freedom from oppression. How could he die and leave them like this? There must be more. They put their trust, they put their very lives in his hands. What now? The only thing that they could lean on was this promise that he gave that he would come back for them. They started to think about the things that he said. They should have realized at the time what he was saying, but they didn't. But he would return. he told them, and take them to be with him in a new kingdom, a different kind of kingdom. Jesus never intended to leave them or us in a lurch, behind a veil of secrecy. He told them and he tells us plainly what's going to happen. Luke 21, 25 to 28. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they're seeing coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand, look up, for your salvation draws near. The story wasn't over. His death and his burial wasn't the end. There's more to come. There's still more to come. He told them, but they couldn't hear it then. How can you understand a resurrection when you can't get your brain around the death? He told them everything that would occur. He tells us today the same things. He promises to return and to take us to be with him forever. And if we die along the way, we still have that same promise. This life isn't all there is. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. He gave his followers hope. He gives us hope today, too. For the same promise that he gave them is still in effect for us. And we wait patiently, or as patiently as we can. He won't leave us as orphans. He'll return to us. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 to 18. Paul tells us this. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. We have hope. We have a promise. Don't get down. Don't get depressed. Encourage each other. We're here for each other. Of course, the disciples wanted to know, well, when is this going to happen, Lord? I mean, okay, but when? In Mark 13, it says, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. That's our job. Be on guard. Stay alert. We have to understand that by faith, his promises will never fail. If he said it, we can be sure it'll happen just as he said. In this, we have our hope going forward. Listen to Paul's encouragement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will rise to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. So here again is that promise, a promise from God to you, to all of us. We have so much more to be thankful for as we wait. Jesus will be raised from the dead. We'll celebrate that tomorrow. He'll be exalted to the highest place of God at his right hand and is. He'll keep us until that great and glorious day. And then Jesus will return and he'll fulfill that promise to us and take us to be with him forever. From God to you. We have so much to be thankful for this holiday season. As we anticipate the celebration of his resurrection, let's rejoice in the promises that we know of, that are documented for us, to give us hope and a future. Hope of a life to come. That's all the followers had back then to rely on. It's really all we have to rely on now. It allowed them to forfeit their very lives, if need be, for the cause, because of their faith. How about you? Are you so committed to God that you could give your life, if need be? I hope I am, if it ever comes down to that, but I'm not sure. You don't know what circumstances are going to lead up to things, but I hope I would be. How about you? So while we wait to celebrate Jesus' resurrection together tomorrow, we still reflect on the passion that we mentioned last night and the death that took place that we looked at yesterday. And Holy Saturday is kind of a waiting day in between these two events. And while we wait, we can think not only about tomorrow's celebration of Jesus rising from the dead, but we can also think ahead of his return. The King is coming. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great promises to us. We know that everyone has completed as predicted, and everyone that we're still waiting for to happen will happen exactly as you said. And we thank you for your word that has these things documented for us so we can read and study and have hope beyond anything in this world. We thank you for coming for us. We thank you that you're coming again. Bless, Lord, your people here tonight and this special weekend. We love you, O God. And Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming.